You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Monday edition. And before I start the show, I'll have an announcement. All our shows, radio shows tomorrow, will be preempted by the monthly Board of Trustees meeting. We will not be on the air Tuesday, and we'll be back Wednesday right after the President's State of the Union address to Congress, which is Tuesday. And I'm sure many of you will be watching, but many other people simply aren't interested in politics. They'd rather be watching their favorite television show or whatever interests they have. I will be watching, really, for the first time in many, many years. Now, why? Not because it's President Trump, but, a couple of weeks ago, I went out and bought a DVD player. First, a mobile one, and then, secondly, I saw on sale and was looking out for it. They had one with a 24-inch television screen. So why it was mainly a DVD player, that's how it was designed. If you had bought an antenna, and I did, you could get TV programs. So if you're a regular listener, you know for many, many years, I even forgot how many, I would say over 30 years, I simply don't watch television. But this time, I watched the Super Bowl. But before, the day or two before, I was just sampling television, and I guess my first reaction is it's gotten worse. I mean worse. To the point I said there's no point in watching this. Now, I'm sure they're good shows. They're always good shows, great movies. By great, I mean a movie you'd like to see more than once. Most movies you regret seeing once. But television seems to have regressed, and I gave up. I said, I turned it off. Now, does it mean occasionally I might turn it on to watch the news? Yes, but again, how many people really get their news today from television news? Well, many do, and that's the problem, because they're being bombarded with progressive propaganda. And that's sad, because you need a free press. You need an informed citizen if you want to defend and have a representative republic. And that's the problem. Our citizens today are either totally tuned out, and I would say more than half are. And those that are still remaining, there's a significant portion of them that all the news they get is from the networks. And they're very biased. They're not objective. And I've given up on them, together with the large national newspapers. I really have to dig out what I think is important and where to go. But yesterday, Sunday, was the first Super Bowl I've seen in years. And I was trying to think back, when was the last time? It would probably be in the 80s. And at the time, I was a Oakland Raider fan. Now, this is before the Oakland Raiders the first time went to L.A. But in watching the game, I said, well, who am I rooting for? I really didn't have a team to root for, at least not initially. And then I thought about it and thought about it. I said, well, it's a defensive game. There wasn't much action until really towards the end. And even then, it was, many said, boring. I didn't find it boring. I just was waiting for someone to break it open. And to a certain extent, that's what the Patriots did. But I thought harder and harder, and I said, you know, I'm for the Patriots. And again, I don't follow football at all. I once When I was a kid, I was a Brooklyn Dodger fan. But you see, I remember not only them winning the World Series, but I remember the day that they left Brooklyn and went to Los Angeles. See, Los Angeles, given the fact that it has a very large population, it's a large market, it can pay for and buys teams. That's why I stopped watching professional sports. It's a business, folks. It's a business, and why many kids, especially when they're young, have their team and root for their team. Eventually, you need to grow up and understand it's entertainment. Sports are entertainment. It's a business. And if the business is not good where the team is, any day your team could move to another city. I've seen it with the Brooklyn Dodgers in the late 50s. I saw it with Raiders, and they both went to Los Angeles. Now, I have nothing against the people of Los Angeles, and they have been supporters of the Dodgers, but after that, I simply could not root for them. But I gave up on sports. Now, I'm originally from Brooklyn, New York. That's where I was born. And as a kid, I lived on Long Island, but I still rooted for the Brooklyn Dodgers. Now, at that time, you had the New York Giants and the New York Yankees. The only team that's still there is the New York Yankees, still playing in their stadium, although it's been rebuilt. And for when I was in college, almost every day, I would take a train down from the Bronx, down to Washington Square, and then back again, and yes, past Yankee Stadium. So I'm well familiar with Yankee Stadium, but I was never a Yankee fan. And even on Long Island, you had those that were for the Dodgers, those for the Giants, and yes, those for the Yankees. And everyone had their team, and there was rivalry. And if New York City had played their cards right, I think all those three teams should have remained in New York. Now, that's being a little greedy, but look at it today. You still have football and baseball. And one thing I need to say, when I was growing up, America's sport was baseball. It wasn't football. I enjoyed playing baseball, but I enjoyed more playing basketball. Football never caught on with me because I have hay fever in the fall, that especially on the East Coast. I could hardly breathe. My sport was baseball and basketball, and I rooted for the New York teams, and we had a choice. So I want to congratulate the Patriots for winning, and I don't think you're going to see the likes of this again. And I think Brady did an excellent job. I thought he was the most valuable player, but you always have differences of opinion there. And I'm glad they won. And next year or years to come, the Rams will be back, the Patriots will be back, and other teams will. Now, I'm in Dallas, Texas, and some people say, aren't you a Dallas, Texas fan? Well, let me tell you, when I initially moved to Texas, I was in Fort Worth, Texas. And there, the Dallas Cowboys, that was the team, America's team. But I had a mug sitting on my desk. It was a Oakland Raiders fan. And people said, well, why are you an Oakland Raiders fan? Well, I was going to grad school in Berkeley, California. And for some reason, I started watching football and liked the Raiders. And at that time, the Raiders were, I think, the winningest team in football. Now, that changes, and that's the perspective you have to have. Everything is going to change. Many people pick their teams when they were kids, but think about it. Many kids pick their team, and now their team is no longer in the city that they were in when they were a kid. And that's a shame, but business means you got to watch out for profit, which means you need fans, you need television viewers. And the temptation is always to go to that market where you can have and attract many people, not only to the television, but also to the stadium. So the Dallas Cowboys will be back. I don't know when. I have not followed them. And I no longer root for any professional sports team. I'm not sad about it. I just don't pay attention. And that somewhat surprises people. Remember, sports has very little in terms of consequences. Now, I know there are people that bet a lot of money, and to them it has consequences. But I'm saying, what were the consequences of the game and the Patriots winning? Not very much in terms of the ordinary citizen watching wherever he's watching. And yes, it was played in Atlanta. And yes, I watched the commercials. I wasn't impressed with the commercials. There were a couple of good ones, especially the dog ordering all that dog food. I thought that was cute. But again, nothing really blew me away. And there were some that I thought were, I don't know what people are thinking. Because I was listening to talk radio, because I don't have people calling me up. I wish I did, but we're not set up for that. We don't have an audience that's large. large enough. You really need a large audience to get people calling in. But one person called in and said, I was offended, and I know what he was offended about, because I sort of was too. All this social justice nonsense. Please. The Americans don't like to be preached at, especially when they're watching a sport. But several of those commercials, I just rolled my eyes, got up, went to the bathroom, or got a snack. Since I'm on a diet, not a big snack. And I sort of was glad I watched it, but I didn't watch the whole game. I would say about three quarters of it. But I won't be watching professional sports this year. That was probably the first and last television show, especially a sports event, that I'll be watching. And I'm sure many people were watching, but many more, so what? It wasn't their team, so they tuned it out. I went into a Home Depot. I was needed some light bulbs, and also was shopping refrigerators. I was talking to one of the salesmen. That was rather helpful because I was in the market for a stackable washer and dryer, but I just couldn't get anywhere near the price that I want. And he gave me some good advice. Watch for the sale. There'll be a sale in the spring. The biggest sales are in May, and then follow July. Just keep watching. Well, I will. But then I said, well, looks like there are not many people in Home Depot today. And then he clued me in. Well, most of them are going to be watching the Super Bowl. That's why it's rather slow. I guess he was right. He said in the mid-afternoon, 11 to 1, there were people there. But after that, it got slow. But it brought it home. Sports teams are big business. And if you were watching TV after the game was over, they were hawking those jerseys, and they'll sell a lot of them. So if you're a kid, root for your team, whoever that team is. But really what you should do is go out and play the game, whatever game interests you, whether it's soccer. Soccer's big in Texas. Football is as well. But so is baseball and basketball. Every state, every region, every city, oh, they have their favorite sports and favorite teams. But the best team is the team that you play for and get on the field and play. And that's what America is about, competing. And may the best man, boy, woman, girl win. And it's also about good sportsmanship. I think we've forgotten about that. So sports is very much important to the American people. But for many people like me, the biggest pleasure is playing a sport. For a time, I simply got older and decided not to pursue it. I enjoyed skiing. I wish I had kept it up. But when I had the money, I didn't have the time. And when I had the time, I didn't have the money. That's not totally true. And you need to be fit to do it. So my ambition is to start skiing again. But I'm not going to do it until I'm totally fit. Which brings me to a startling number. You're hearing on the news and in the papers some Democrats pushing a 70% tax rate. Yes, they're the socialists, the progressives. I call them the Reds, the radical extremist Democrats. The Reds. Now, before you think I'm a Republican, think again. I'm for limited government. I could never vote in good conscience for Democrats or Republicans ever again, because I've long concluded that they're both just for big government. There's not much difference between the two. There is differences, but not much if you really look under the covers. So you have some Democrats, Reds, especially the liberal, progressive, socialist, communist wing, which is, in essence, the Democratic Party today, pushing for higher and higher tax rates to soak the rich. Well, I have news for them. The rich are already soaked. I would say soaking wet. And I will, after the show, put up some more additional information. And if you're a first-time listener, the way you listen to the Prompt Pop Show is to go to my companion blog, which is promptpops.wordpress.com. That's promptpops, prompkpops.wordpress.com. And if you do, what I try to do is not only give you links to my most recent shows. At the very top, you'll see links to the most recent 60 to 80 shows. But underneath, I give you some information, some of my show prep for today's show, and I'm covering really three stories. The second one is going to be on taxes. But I kept on thinking, 70%, 70%. Oh, what about that number, 70%? What is one of the major problems that the American people face today? And it's killing them, and it's costing them 70%. Over 70% of the American people today are overweight and or obese. 70%. In other words, only one out of three people, actually less than one out of three, is normal weight or underweight. That doesn't mean necessarily they're physically fit. And that's a problem. Now, that's not the way it always was. You know what gets me? I watch some classic movies, so-called great movies. And you see it in the movies, especially the 30s, the 40s, into the 50s. People were thinner, folks. And it's noticeable. Now, yes, these people are younger, and when younger people tend to be thinner. But it's so noticeable, it just jumps out at you. Now, what's startling, if I break down that 70% number. And these are recent statistics. These aren't old ones. There's a certain amount of lag. Over 40% are obese. They're fat folks, and I include myself in that. I'm very aware of it. And I'm working on it to get it down. But I got a ways to go. You got to be persistent. You never give up. And I've been on many successful diets. I have. But, and there's the big but there, it's not a successful diet if 2, 3, 4, 5 years later, you've gained it all back, and in many cases, way more. And unfortunately, for most people, that's the problem with diets. You want a diet that you're going to really be on your entire life. Don't even think of it as a diet to lose weight. It's just a diet to be healthy. And I know this, that the most successful diets I've been on, you got to combine it with exercise. So we're not too far from January 1st, when I'm sure many of you made resolutions, New Year's resolutions, to lose weight. And some of you probably have tried, maybe even bought a gym membership. But the key is, first of all, to persist with it. And if you're overweight, you can do it in a couple of months, maybe even a year. But if you're obese, it's going to take you at least a year or two to get down to so-called normal weight. But never give up. And you want to be on a diet that you'll be on for the rest of your life. So I call this my Dallas diet, the last diet, and I'm serious about it. And I'm watching my weight, but I'm really watching is what I eat, and are sensitive to the fact you really shouldn't eat until your body tells you, I'm really hungry. But today, most people will eat really to take up time. I'm sure many of you were really shoving food in your face during the Super Bowl, whether it was chips, beer, booze, whatever. I was drinking Diet Coke. Not Coca-Cola, Big K, Kroger, Big K, caffeine-free, sugar-free. I think of it as my water. I won't drink anything with that corn syrup in it. Yeah, there was a beer ad emphasizing that. Yeah, I used to drink Michelob, by the way, when I was in the Air Force. I was in an outfit, the F-15 Systems Program Office, or called a SPO, and the drink was Michelob. And we went to St. Louis, and the job I had, I'd be in St. Louis probably two or three times every month, negotiating on the F-15 program. So we would drink Michelob, and they were emphasizing it doesn't have that corn syrup. I got a kick out of that, and I guess they have Michelob. It was Michelob Ultra. So I guess their ads worked, but I haven't drank a beer probably since the last time I watched the Super Bowl game, and I can't remember when that was. Beer is out, alcohol beverage is out, but that's just me. But that's one area that you got to watch out for. So what did I think of the game? I probably should have switched the channels, but I said I'll stick this one out just to see how it goes. And yes, the Patriots, I did. I think we're the better team and did a better job, and I'm sure the people in New England that or Patriot fans are cheering, especially in Boston. But I think the Rams will be back. Los Angeles has a lot of people in it, so you're always going to have some of them, whether it's basketball, football, baseball, even soccer. Los Angeles is going to be a factor. What's really impressive is those teams that are in small markets that win the Super Bowl. So I'll move off of this. I'll let the sportscasters, the fans give you their take. I really have very little take. It took some time to listen to it. And then I was asking myself, is this the best use of my time? You know, if you're in real estate, you ask the same question. Is this the best use of the land here? Usually over time, what happens is that answer changes. I lived in a neighborhood in Dallas that today you wouldn't recognize it. Because on one side of the road that had apartments and condominiums, there was a forest. If you continued down that road, you had sort of a flood plain. When we had really a lot of rain, that area was flooded. And what do we have there today? This is on Park Lane. We have a horse stable, a riding club, whatever. We have a golf range where people, you know, swing their golf clubs, hit balls in the distance. They've knocked down that forest. And then if you go where it used to flood on one side, oh, there's a strip center, but more importantly, it's a Super Target store, big store. And the other side, there used to be a grocery store, Tom's Thumbs. That they've moved out, and now it's a theater where you go for dinner and watch movies. And there are also other businesses on there. So over time, what happens? There's a better use for land. But as you grow older, it's a better use of your time. And only you can decide where you're going to spend that time. And it's not only time, it's money. And I decided a long time ago not to waste my time on television. It's not that there aren't some great series there on there. There are. The way I caught up on it was to buy DVDs and watch the series. And lo and behold, they were, well, some were very good. Some tend to petered out. Usually after about 5 or 6 seasons, it goes down. It's hard to consistently, season after season after season, be outstanding. You know, there are very, very few television shows, if you think about it, that last for 5 or 6 seasons. Most last for 1, 2, or 3. It's very much like professional sport athletes. You know, the statistics you hear is 3 to 4 years. I remember when I was in financial planning, we had some people that advised professional athletes in all the sports. And then what the point they were emphasizing is these people have a limited career. Oh, yeah, they're making a lot of money. But one play, they could be injured and out of the game. And even if they're lucky, it's 3 to 4 years. So what Tom Brady has done and what the coach has done of the Patriots, it's rare. I don't think you're going to see anything like that ever again. It could be wrong, but I don't think so. Because getting back to that 70% overweight and obese, they're just going to be fewer and fewer people. And remember, you need athletic ability. You need talent to succeed in any field and persistence. And now, if you ask me, but unfortunately, President Trump would not be a good poster boy for this. But he could really be a good example if he would emphasize that we need to get the citizens of the United States back into shape. In other words, be physically fit. Oh, I think President Trump is obese, by the way, just so I can spot him, folks. It's not hard, and I think even he would admit it. I always got a chuckle at that press conference where they had that Navy doctor. He's right on the borderline. No, he's not. President Trump is obese. But he should use it to be an example to the American people and to point out a big problem. You know, I believe the biggest problem we have today is what I call spending addiction disorder, SAD, because government spending is out of control. But the biggest health problem today is the fact that the American people have a weight problem, a diet problem, an exercise problem. And as a society, but more importantly as individuals, we need to work on it. Now, the professional athlete is highly motivated by money, fame, and what goes along with it to be fit. And to the extent that they don't pay attention to that, it hurts their performance, probably shortens their career. So you need to be serious and motivated. And even if you do everything right, like I said, and there were people injured. There was one of the Patriots, I think, broke his arm and will be out. It could have been a lot more serious. So that's what you need to understand. But how does it apply to us? And there's some lessons here. We have to watch our weight, exercise. You see the effect or the influence, especially of professional sports, on the fact that many people today have tattoos all over their arms. And not only over their arms, over almost every part of the body. I've run into some people that have it all over. And I always was scratching my head. I said, well, I bet you it's television. And that's what I was finding. All the professional athletes seem to have tattoos. And all the black athletes, not all of them, but a lot of them, not only had tattoos, they had those curls. Whatever they call them. The key is not to pay attention to what other people are doing, but you pay attention to what's important to you and try to be the best you can be in whatever endeavor you pursue. I'm pursuing broadcasting, but I've had other jobs and other careers over my lifetime, and that's a message that needs to resonate with you. Part of it is persistence. Nothing comes easy, and there will be failures, and not everyone succeeds. I remember I had a barber. He's since retired, and I haven't seen him in many years, but he was a barber, and him and his brother were rockabilly singers. stars, really. And they still play concerts, largely in Europe. But I asked him why they never broke in or became real popular. He said, well, we never had that one hit. They had songs that they had written that were successful. They had albums. I think Columbia was their record company. And yes, they played over Texas and the country and Europe, but they never had that big break, the big one hit. And what you need to understand, that even if you have that one hit, call it the one good year, the one Super Bowl win, it's very, very rare to have multiple hits. Whether it's musicals, Super Bowls, World Series, you got to focus. You got to be balanced. You got to know your priorities. And life's not fair. There's an element of luck, randomness about success. Now, there's something that I really wasn't going to talk about until April. I usually do this on April 15th, either a little before or a little after, usually after. But I decided it was time to refresh your memory. If you're a regular listener to the show, you probably know where I'm going. I'm a big fan, not a sports fan, a big advocate would probably be a better word, of replacing the federal income tax system, really the federal tax system. I mean eliminate, abolish all federal taxes, and I do mean all federal taxes, and replace it with one single tax that literally everybody would understand, one that would be considered fair, and really one that if the political class would listen to their own constituents, they don't do that, by the way, would get behind, both Democrats and Republicans. It's not going to happen because it's not in the interest of the political elites to do what many, I'm not alone here, and I'm not, there are many that advocated the fair tax. What I did is looked at it and said, let's make it a lot simpler so everybody could understand it, but also make it a little bit more generous, hoping that more politicians would get behind it. Every time I've explained my version of this to anybody, they like it. So it's not a situation where the American people are not for it. I think in a heartbeat they would go for it. And once it's implemented would really, and this is why the politicians aren't for it, any politicians that would like to go back to the old system, namely the system we have today. See, today's tax system is largely based on taxing income. Income is the basis of taxation. What I have recommended and other economists have recommended, politicians, even some very successful billionaires such as Bill Gates, is don't tax income, tax consumption. In other words, the goods and services that you buy every day. And I've been buying quite a bit of goods to replace some that I recently lost. So I've been there really spending, doing my best efforts. I normally don't do that. What am I talking about? Right now, if you ask the American people, do you understand the income tax system? They'll look at you, no, I don't understand it. And if they have questions, usually a lot of people, and I've heard this from relatives, but other people as well, they hire a CPA or a tax accountant to do their taxes. I always scratch my head. Well, I did my own, still do, but here's the but. Why do we have this system? Now, initially, back in 1914, in that era, it was designed to only affect really the very rich. I don't have in front of me the numbers, but you had to be making a real, real, real good living to pay income taxes. Well, like anything, it gets out of hand. Today, it really, I think, hurts the middle class. And you got to understand, of all the people that pay income taxes, the bottom 50% pay less than 3% of all income taxes collected. Now, the number bounces around, but of that 50%, the majority pay no taxes. And let me quickly qualify it. They pay no personal income tax. But what's the tax that they all pay if they're working, even if they're self-employed? Social Security taxes. The biggest tax, especially on low to middle income people, is not the personal income tax that I would abolish. Remember, I'm advocating, as are the fair tax people, is that we replace federal taxes, including income taxes, but also payroll taxes for Social Security, Medicare, disability, replace capital gains taxes, estate and gift taxes, get rid of them all, and instead of taxing income, tax when you actually spend the money. In other words, when you consume a good or service. Now, I made it a little simple and a simpler. I think it's simple. The fair tax is relatively straightforward. forward. But you got to understand, first of all, the biggest problem is to understand that no longer will you have, for example, withholding, because you won't be paying, first of all, payroll taxes that are taken out of your check for Social Security, Medicare, disability. And then two, there's no federal income tax withheld because there's no tax. You're doing away with all payroll taxes, all income taxes, all capital gains taxes, all estate and gift taxes. Now, I make it a little simpler. I say we're eliminating all federal taxes, every single one of them. Now, immediately, someone's got, well, how are you going to pay for government? You don't want any government? Well, I want smaller government. But yes, government needs tax revenue. Now, the people that put together the fair tax, the assumption that they gave the people that they gave a group of economists from leading universities and said, come up with the best system. We don't know what it is. And the only constraint, if you will, it had to be revenue neutral. In other words, it had to raise the same amount of money as the current system. Personally, I think it was a mistake. I understand why they did it, but a mistake. And the reason is very simple. And if you listen to past shows, you know what I'm going to say is federal spending at all levels is way out of control. We're running massive deficits year in, year out of hundreds of billions of dollars. I don't know the exact number. I should. This fiscal year that started 1 October of last year ends 30 September of this year. We're spending over $4,000 billion. I think it's around $4,300 or $4,400 billion. In other words, $4.3 trillion ballpark. Remember, the entire U.S. economy, and we didn't get the GDP numbers, the gross domestic product numbers, mainly because I think of the shutdown. We probably will get them either this week or next week. We'll see. I would think this week. The U.S. GDP should be about $21 trillion, maybe $22 trillion this year. That's the total for the entire country. That's a big number, but it happens to equal, or will equal, roughly the national debt. That's how out of control spending is. The deficits and debt and deficits tends to confuse people. Every year, Congress, the House and the Senate, authorize and then appropriate funds in terms of how much the federal government is going to spend and where they're going to spend it, and how much taxes they expect to collect. And it doesn't seem to matter whether it's Democrats or Republicans. And there are occasionally an exception. But both parties never try to balance the budget. You hear a lot of propaganda and talk about doing it in 10 years. They never do it. So we're spending way more than what we collect in from all sources, from every single tax on the books. If you add that all together, we're still spending an additional $800 to $900 billion. And we've been doing, the numbers again bounce around, but you can't continue doing that. You're now hearing stories, and it should worry people in Washington. The United States is the reserve currency of the world. So central banks of other countries hold U.S. dollar. And if you want to purchase oil, you have to pay in dollar. That gives the United States a big advantage. Now, for many, many years, no one had any problem with that. But the reason why you've heard talk about this for the last at least 10 to 20 years is the fact that the people that do pay attention see that the United States government is routinely taking advantage of its position and running massive deficits. Other countries can't do that. And I like to use the phrase, the day of reckoning. There will be a day of reckoning. I have no doubts about it. The only key question is when and how bad it will be. I think it'll be sometime in the late 2020s or early 2030s. You can't continue doing what we've been doing. And that's spending way beyond the means of the American people and the American economy, really. We're overspending in terms of government spending. Almost say none, but almost no politician will talk about it and say what needs to be done. Now, one of the things, and I'll get into what the fair tax is in just a second, but one of the things that needs to be done is when you have a spending problem, what do you have to do? Stop spending. You know, if you're an alcoholic, what do you have to stop doing? Stop drinking alcohol, whether it's beer, booze, whatever. So when you're ever doing something to excess, whatever it is, many call it an addiction, you got to cut it out. You know, in one day, one week, one month, month is not enough. You have to be consistent. The United States of America, through its elective representatives, spending is out of control, and neither party is up to the job of getting it under control. You know, that's why I think many people that are idealistic, motivated, go to Washington trying to do something, and usually within 4, 6, 8 years, come home. It's a lost cause. They're defeated. They're defeated by the system. And as long as we have only two parties that are competing, I don't see any change. The American people are in the bad habit of electing either Democrats or Republicans, and neither of those parties will downsize the federal government. They're not even talking about it. We have a State of the Union address. Do I think President Trump's going to talk about it? I really don't. And you see why he could maybe mention one or two departments that he would like to permanently shut down. That's not going to cut it. When you're in this situation, you have to shut down permanently whole departments of government, and they're not going to come back. And I'm talking 8 of them, and I could make a case for 10. Agriculture, commerce, labor, education, energy, interior, housing, and urban development. I always miss one, and I'm missing one. Did I say transportation? Okay. Now, why those departments? The private sector, industry, enterprise, is perfectly capable of producing those goods and services without any assistance from the federal government. We need to do away with that. Are senators and representatives proposing that or coming up with one or two? One or two won't make a difference. Now, some will say if you shut down defense, no. Yeah, everyone has their favorite departments. Mine happens to be the Department of Defense. Yes, I'm a veteran, spent 5 years in the Air Force, but that's not why. It's a dangerous world out there, and one of the primary roles of a government today is to defend its people, its property, its resources against those that would like to take them. And that's Russia, China, Communist China, the Islamic Republic of Iran, and others. They don't mean as well. And yes, they spy on us. And they are threatened by the United States. Good. So why I'm for a strong national defense, I'm not for a military so large that we become policemen of the world. I'm not an interventionist. I believe in a strong national defense, but we should, unless attacked, try to avoid war and not send your sons and daughters into countries that most of them, including me, couldn't find on a map. In other words, I'm all for free and fair trade and the movement of capital across borders, but I don't want to move our armies, our Air Force, Marines, Navy, to move into other countries. We can always justify anything we do, and that's exactly what we've done. And there are people that, if they had their druthers, would commit U.S. troops around the world. But the situation you get into is, after a few years, and now going on 20 years, we're still in Afghanistan and Syria and Iraq. You see, I support President Trump in his foreign policy, bring the troops home and have a great parade. We have over 500 military bases installations around the world. About 35 to 40 are fairly large. Some of those bases are very small. I understand that. But why do we have them? A lot of it's just pre-positioning of assets, namely military equipment and supplies, in case, for example, we have another war in the Middle East. There is a great temptation, it doesn't matter if it's a Democratic president or a Republican president, to get the United States involved with wars, conflicts, police actions, however you want to describe it, around the world. You see, I believe in the Constitution, and I believe, and I think Congress, the Founding Fathers, are right about this, we shouldn't be sending our troops abroad unless there is a declaration of war. And to get a declaration of war, you need airing of what's happening. You still might get a declaration of war, and let me be clear, I know there's no one set wording of that. Now, some would argue that the authorization of military force is the equivalent of a declaration of war. Now, I'm against the draft. I'm for a, you know, professional military volunteer Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine. That's the way it should be. Now, when it wasn't, when we had the draft, that's when you had a lot of protests, especially in the 60s, early 70s. But now, fewer and fewer, in terms of the U.S. population, are serving in the military. And because of that, you don't get people protesting the war anymore. That doesn't mean that we're right in being there. And I know the case, well, but it's better to fight them over there than over here. Well, that sounds good. That's a great soundbite, but they're not going to be coming over here. Now, I know someone will say, well, we had a terrorist attack. Yeah, I understand that. And it was a wake-up call. We weren't paying attention, and we weren't taking action that we should. And that's largely the responsibility of the President of the United States as Commander-in-Chief. What I'm trying to emphasize is there are legitimate roles of government, and providing for the defense of this country is one of them, and we need to give priority to that. Especially when resources are very scarce. They're not. At least the view is that you can keep on running these massive deficits forever. No, you cannot. And we're going to learn the hard way, unfortunately. I don't think, and I'm saying this because we have a State of the Union message, and it will deal with unity, the defense of the country, our borders. But I seriously doubt there'll be anything said about government spending being out of control, where this leads, what the consequences are. That's something that Democrats and Republicans don't want to talk about because they're both guilty of this. And who's to blame? The American people are to blame. The American people are to blame because you elect them. I don't vote Democrat or Republican anymore. I don't want to encourage them. Now, I was going to talk for about another 30 minutes on the fair tax. Let me summarize it briefly, and you won't hear anything about this from President Trump. President Trump were smart, I mean really smart, a visionary, he would come out for it. He won't come out for it. You replace all federal taxes with one tax. It's a tax on consumption. Everybody pays the same rate. It's 20%. On everything you buy, that's a new, and I emphasize a new good or service, you pay 20%. Now, some of you are immediately going to jump, wait a minute, that's regressive. That's like a sales tax. It's regressive. So is the payroll tax. That's regressive. And let me make clear, we're doing away with all federal taxes, including payroll taxes like Social Security and Medicare. The big criticism initially of the fair tax, well, it's aggressive. That's the knee-jerk reaction to it. What's unique about this tax, whether it's the fair tax or my version of it, everyone would get a tax prebate. Everybody. Everyone pays the same tax. Everyone gets a tax prebate, including billionaires such as Bill Gates and Donald Trump or George Soros. Any billionaire would get a prebate. What's the prebate? Every adult taxpayer 18 years or older would get in the mail a check for $1,000. $1,000 a month, 12 checks, one each month is $12,000. What does that mean? It means the first $60,000 of consumption for a roof over your head, clothing and food, you wouldn't be paying taxes on it. So everyone gets the prebate. Another way to think about it, once you have spent $60,000, in other words, let's say you're making a lot of money and you're spending a lot of money, everything over $60,000, the effective tax rate is still 20%. So everyone knows the rate. Everyone pays the same tax. Everyone gets a prebate or a check in the mail every month. It's based on being a U.S. citizen, 18 years or older. Yeah, you're going to have a Social Security number. And yes, wherever you're working, they're going to have to report your income to determine your benefits, but that's an aside. So the poor people, the people that are not making money and not paying, most of these people today are either on welfare or not paying much in income taxes. All of the people that are working, though, are paying payroll taxes. Everybody likes that $1,000 a month check. Now, we don't have them for kids. That's the difference between what I call fair tax less and the fair tax. Theirs is a lot more complicated. I try to make it real simple. No more tax returns, no more withholding. Your gross pay is your pay. And remember, no more capital gains. So when you sell your house or any investment, there's not a capital gains on it. It's only when you consume, buy, purchase a new good or service. That's it. I said it in about 3 minutes. Not hard to understand. Now, there are a lot of questions that come up, and I'll post some videos on that. And yes, come April 15th or 16th, I'll give a detailed show dedicated to it. The reason I put it here is this is a perfect moment for Donald Trump to do three things. One, come out for the fair tax or fair tax less. A broad-based consumption tax is another way to refer to it. And spell it out. Make it his own and get behind it. That would be a surprise, by the way. Second, he needs to come out for downsizing the federal government and name departments that he would close permanently. He'll never say that. He's a big government guy. And then third, he's going to come out for building that big, beautiful border barrier. Will we be united behind him? I don't think so. Now, I was going to play, but I simply don't have time. But I recommend you listen to it. It's Never Give Up. It's a speech that Donald Trump gave. But I do have it in my show prep. And tomorrow we don't have a show. But Wednesday, I'll probably end the show with that. That's what I was going to do today. But I got the signal that I really have to wrap it up. Let me see if I can at least start it. And I'll try that right now. And maybe he'll go to this. Who knows? You never know. Never, ever give up. I'll play the first minute.
Years from now, some of them may look back and ask themselves whether they've made the right choice, whether they've made the most of the opportunities they've been given. Together, we have the same mission. Over the course of your life, you will find that things are not always fair. You will find that things happen to you that you do not deserve and that are not always warranted. But you have to put your head down and fight, fight, fight. Never, ever, ever give up. Don't give in, don't back down, and never stop doing what you know is right. Nothing worth doing ever, ever, ever came easy. And the more righteous your fight, the more opposition that you will face. In your hearts are inscribed the values of service, sacrifice, and devotion. Now you must go forth into the world and turn your hopes and dreams into action. America has always been the land of dreams because America is a nation of true believers. When the pilgrims landed at Plymouth, they prayed. When the founders wrote the Declaration of Independence, they invoked our Creator four times. Because in America, we don't worship government, we worship God. It is why our currency proudly declares, "In God we trust." And it's why we proudly proclaim that we are one nation under God. The story of America is the story of an adventure that began with deep faith, big dreams, and humble beginnings. The next generation of American leaders never, ever give up. There'll be times in your life you'll want to quit. Never quit. Never stop fighting for what you believe in and for the people who care about you. Carry yourself with dignity and pride. Demand the best from yourself. The more people tell you it's not possible, that it can't be done, the more you should be absolutely determined to prove them wrong. Treat the word impossible as nothing more than motivation.
I'll leave it there. Tomorrow I'll play the whole clip, but I want to end my show with my favorite song, America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. With the voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com. and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.